For more talks and meditations, go to GloriaKGreen.com. Gratitude, your path to joy. Because all of us live on a continuum between gratitude and feeling grumpy, according to David Emerald. And we can choose to move ourselves along that continuum in the direction of gratitude or in the direction of grumpy. Brother David Steindl of RAS says that if we choose to distrust life, it will make us miserable.
If we choose to distrust life.
If we don't trust life, it will make us miserable. But if we think of life as trustworthy, we will think of each moment as a gift, moving us towards gratitude. When we don't trust life, we tend to squander our joy instead of savoring it. We picture it being taken away from us. We think that if we allow ourselves to feel the joy, we're inviting disaster. The other shoe is going to drop. And Brené Brown says, when we lose our capacity to be vulnerable, joy becomes foreboding. Our thought is vulnerability will not blindside me. It will not take me down by surprise. We picture the negative because we think that when it happens, it will hurt less. But guess what? It doesn't hurt less. The only thing we've managed to do is squander our joy. We can store our joy so we have a reservoir of joy when we need it. The only way to do this is to practice gratitude. So practicing gratitude helps us to store our joy. Instead of saying time to dress rehearse disaster, we say time to practice gratitude. It's not happiness or joy that makes us grateful. It's gratefulness that makes us happy or joyful. Think about that. It's gratefulness that makes us happy or joyful, not the other way around. So if we want to be happy, practicing gratitude is a skillful strategy. While gratitude is an emotion, it's also a skill we can develop through practice. We can learn to appreciate not just wonderful things, but also the ordinary moments that, if we truly pay attention to them, turn out to be extraordinary. Just walk down the street with a 2-year-old and see something like an ant walking on the ground, and they're looking at it like it's the most magnificent thing ever. And if you stop and pay attention, it really is. So we spend our lives doing things so we'll be happy in the future. Anyone spend time making sure you'll be happy in the future? But we get so busy, we don't take the time to notice the good things in our life in the present moment. So practicing gratitude is more than just saying thank you. It's taking pleasure and savoring it. Feeling successful and savoring it. Being happy for others and savoring it. We have to allow ourselves to feel the pleasure of happiness and let it sink into our body. You know, we've talked about the practice taking in the good, where we see something positive and just focus on it for 20 seconds to let it sink into our body, create those neural pathways. But as soon as we start thinking it could have been better, we squelch gratitude. Think about it. You have a wonderful party, and instead of just thinking about all the good things that happened, the people that you got to connect with, how happy they were, how much fun it was, we start thinking about, but I, you know, this appetizer didn't turn out as well as it could have, or I wish more people had come, or I wish less people had come. As soon as we start thinking it could have been better, we squelch our joy, our happiness. According to Rick Hansen, he says gratitude is not about minimizing or denying hassles. The sound system's not working. So Rick Hansen says gratitude is not about minimizing or denying hassles, illness, loss, or injustice. It's simply appreciating what is also true, such as flowers and sunlight, paper clips and fresh water, the kindness of others, easy access to knowledge and wisdom, and light at the flick of a switch. Be mindful of any reluctance to see these gifts, such as a concern that this will make you lose track of problems or lower your guard. It helps to remember you can be deeply thankful while maintaining a sharp-eyed clarity about what could go wrong. A lot of us spend our life either happy or sad, and there's no in-between. Things are good or bad, and there's no in-between. But there's an and. The party was wonderful, and some things could have been different. Some things could have been better. But we let go of the wonderful, and we focus on the could have been better. So what we want to do is train our brains to pay attention to the good as well as the bad, and know that two things can be happening at once. Gratitude requires practice because our brains were wired to scan for the negative. People who did not see the negative in our early evolution did not survive. So our brains were designed for that. We're wired to scan for danger, pick up potential threats. We're wired to protect ourselves. Today, we'd still do that all the time, but we don't have a saber-toothed tiger chasing us. We're constantly scanning for danger and putting up our defenses. And when we have our defenses up for danger, do you think the good can get through? Not at all. We have our defenses up. That means our brains become Velcro for the bad and Teflon for the good. And we want to change that. We need to rewire our brains to learn to savor the good. So we spend our time ruminating about past mistakes or worrying about future events. Thus, we have no time to be grateful for what we have in the present moment. When we just sit quietly with our breath and we're not ruminating about the past and we're not projecting into the future, just sitting here, we can feel a sense of contentment. We have everything we need to be happy in this present moment. It's when we start worrying about, but how's this going to happen in the future, that we lose our contentment. It's not the present moment most of the time. So we want to make sure that we're rewiring our brains so that we can take in the good. We want to be aware of what's happening in the present moment. Sometimes when we're ruminating about the past, we're looking at the good old days with rose-colored glasses and think the present pales in comparison. I hear a lot these days about, oh, I wish we could go back to the good old days of America. But if we really looked at the good old days, they may not be as good as we're remembering them. And what we're remembering may not be reality at all, because our brains perceive things and they change things based on what our perceptions are. So that robs us of the chance to be grateful for the moment when we're comparing, well, I used to be able to go running and I really can't run more than 10 minutes now because my body's getting old. If I focus on what I used to be able to do, I'm going to miss out being grateful that I can get out and run for 10 minutes. It's just something I can be grateful for. I've been doing a gratitude practice with a friend for over 2 years, and then with another friend for, 6 months or so? And the first month I ever did the gratitude practice, it was really hard to come up with 3 things I was grateful for. I felt like I had to come up with different things every day, and I really struggled to come up with what those ideas might be, because I was looking for won the lottery kind of things to be grateful for, and I didn't win the lottery. But after 2 months, it was still hard work, and I thought about quitting, but I didn't want to let my friend down. So I decided to stick it out. And I learned by reading her gratitudes that I could include little things in my gratitude, like even getting a haircut that I actually liked.
What exactly did you do with this friend?
We email each other every morning.
Oh,
or
okay.
Sometime during the day. So we send an email with 3 to 5 gratitudes on it. Nothing else has to be in the email. Sometimes there is, sometimes there's, little chatting before or after the gratitudes, but just sending the gratitude every day. And the reason that's so nice is because when I forget, she remembers. And when she forgets, I remember, and we get a reminder email from each other to do our gratitudes. And so it's now become one of my favorite practices because I've opened my eyes to see what I'm grateful for. Instead of judging everything, saying, is that good enough to put on my gratitude? The whole idea of gratitude is to slow down my judging mind and allow myself to see the good. And I come up with all sorts of things that I was grateful for. One that I forgot to put in my gratitude this morning was I saw a turtle in our pond when I was walking on Sunday. And that was just really neat. And I saw 2 yellow finches, and I forgot to put that in. So during the day, a lot of times I'll say, ooh, look at this, and be very grateful and say, I have to remember to put it in my gratitude. Half the time I forget. But I stopped and I appreciated it. And that's what's going to change the neural pathways in my brain to make me see more of the good. So it's really hard to get started on a gratitude practice because we take so many things for granted. I mean, did you ever think about being grateful for your breath? It just, unless you have asthma, and right after the asthma attack, you're probably grateful for your breath. But otherwise, we forget. My teacher, Thich Nhat Hanh, says to be grateful for your non-toothache. And if you've ever had a toothache, you know what being grateful for a non-toothache feels like, because it happens for an hour, maybe a day, after you've had a bad toothache. But then we just take it for granted again. So gratitude's a muscle we have to build up, just like mindfulness. And to do that, we first have to start with mindfulness. We have to be mindful enough to see what we can be grateful for. And then we have to take the time to savor it and really appreciate it. In a research study, they had participants write about neutral topics or what they were grateful for. Then they were shown positive and negative pictures. And they were asked to increase the positivity and reduce the negativity. The participants in the grateful group used more words related to cognitive processes. Their prefrontal cortex was turned on. Words showing insight into the topic or talking about cause and effect. Since these types of words are involved in reappraising negative events, the researcher suggests the gratitude group might be better at reframing negative pictures. Sometimes our life seems so awful because we don't know how to reframe the negative. And practicing gratitude appears to be one of the ways you can learn to do some reframing. So it not only make you happier, but it provides you skills to reframe the negative so it's not looked upon as quite so negative. And James Baraz, who's the author of Awakening Joy, both the course and the book, said, when we're faced with challenges, gratitude opens us to a larger perspective that helps us more effectively address them. When we're unhappy, depressed, angry, in pain, we contract. The simple practice of gratitude actually begins to relax the mind. Instead of seeing things from only one perspective, we become open-minded. The causes of suffering don't go away, but the context in which they're happening gets bigger. So practicing gratitude relaxes the mind. And when the mind is relaxed, your prefrontal cortex is turned on. And that's your executive function. So you can make better decisions and take more skillful actions, which is going to make you happier in the long run. Another research study shows that gratitude may help us delay gratification. Participants who had written about gratitude were more likely to pick the larger rewards they had to wait longer for than the participants in the happier neutral groups. So gratitude seems to help us manage our impatient urges. So, you know, that impatient urge for chocolate? Gratitude might help us with that. And actually, I think it has a little bit for me. That I know that, yeah, I could sit down and eat a lot of chocolate, but while it gives me short-term pleasure, I know in the long run, I might not be happy about the effects it has on my health and my weight. So gratitude, again, if we slow down to be grateful, we calm our mind, we see, yes, things aren't like I want them to be, but other things are really good. And therefore, I don't really need the chocolate because it's not going to fix things the way I don't want them to be. We often think of gratitude as something dependent on something that's out there. But gratitude welcomes whatever it is that we're given. We don't have to have the perfect thing. We can just be grateful for what we have. Because gratitude doesn't necessarily know any stories of how it should have been. It's not dependent on what you have. If I go to a dinner and I have this picture in my mind of how wonderful it's going to be, and it doesn't turn out that way, I'm not grateful. But if I can go to that dinner without those expectations and enjoy the interactions that I do have, then I can be grateful. I want to have gratitude for the actual experience, and the actual experience is never going to match my fantasy of it. You know, our fantasies are usually unrealistic. So if I can let go of my fantasy and say, I'm going to be grateful for whatever happens, any connection, any pleasant thing, then I can experience gratitude. An example of this, I went to a high school reunion, and there was maybe a half a dozen women who I hadn't seen probably since high school that I would really like to touch base with, in addition to some high school friends that I've kept in touch with. So I went and I had the best time ever because I just had the idea that there are certain people I want to look for and talk with, and you know, if I get to talk with them, that's wonderful. And forget everybody else. And a friend of mine who went the next day, she said, that was so awful. So-and-so didn't talk to me, and so-and-so didn't talk to me. And it was like, were we at the same reunion? You know, but it was all the expectations going in that flavored how we felt about it. So there's only one way out of scarceness, and that's enoughness, according to Brené Brown. The opposite of scarcity is not abundance, Our culture bombards us with messages about it's not enough. And the way out is gratitude. So my friend had this idea of scarcity, that this didn't happen and this didn't happen. And the only way out is to be grateful for what did happen. Gratitude is really dependent on your heart. You can even find gratitude in the sorrows in your life. The hand you've been dealt. Think about it. You're grieving someone and you can feel gratitude for the people who care about you and are expressing condolences or helping take care of you. Sometimes it's through the hardest things that your heart learns its most important lesson. People in the poorest countries are grateful for what they have. None of us would be grateful if that's all we had. Well, I should speak for myself. I know I wouldn't be. It would be a lot of practice for me to be grateful for, you know, living in a hut with no electricity, no water, and so on. But they don't know what they're missing. They don't know what they don't have. And it's all about expectations. So they're happy and they're grateful for three meals a day and having a roof over their head, even though it's not the roof over our head that we'd be very happy with. So let's take a moment to see if we can get a start on building our gratitude muscle. And you may choose to sit in your meditative posture, sitting upright and yet relaxed. And you may choose to close your eyes, but feel free to keep them open. And just take a moment to look over your life in the last week and look at what has satisfied you in the last week. What really makes you feel nourished? Remember, it could be big things or it could be little things. You can savor the little things just as much as you can savor the big things, like winning the lottery. So what gets in the way of gratitude? It's usually resentment and bitterness that come from dashed expectations. The world doesn't fit our stories. There's a tension where I expected life to be more favorable, or the world just hasn't given me enough. I know I feel that like that a lot of times. The world just hasn't given me everything I wanted. And when this happens, we become so contracted that we can't see the positive things we could be grateful for. You know, when you're so disappointed, I didn't get that job I wanted, I'm so disappointed, and I can't see all the good things that I have in my life, so I just go, poor, poor, pitiful me. The bitterness sticks in our mind like Velcro. And we just keep focusing on bad things. The bad things that happen are what sticks out to us. If you think about when you go to bed at night and you're thinking about what happened during the day, often what sticks out in our mind is the thing we said that we wished we hadn't. or how someone insulted us or disrespected us. And we can't feel grateful when we're feeling negative. It's a continuum. You can't be on both ends at the same time. You can't be grateful and grumpy. You can be somewhere along the continuum, but you can't be at both extremes at the same time. But on the other hand, we can't should on ourselves and say you should feel grateful, because sometimes we really just don't. And we have to be where we're at, start where we're at. Sometimes we're on the grumpy side of the continuum, and wishful thinking won't get us over to the grateful side. We have to admit, yes, I'm feeling grumpy, instead of being authentic and saying, yeah, I'm grateful for this and this, when we don't really mean it. It makes you feel like a bad person when you know you should be grateful and you're not, because you're judging yourself, you're beating yourself up. And then you say, well, I'm going to try to be grateful. But trying is not helpful in meditation practice or gratitude practice. If you're trying to watch your breath, you're trying too hard, and you're not really going to be successful at meditating. You're going to be beating yourself up because you're not doing meditation as well as you think you should be. And so you don't want to try. You just want to accept what is. I could be grateful for things, but right now I'm not feeling grateful. I'm feeling what I'm feeling. And I have to accept that rather than push it down, because as soon as I push that feeling down of why I'm not feeling grateful, why I'm grumpy, it's going to pop up someplace else, and I'm going to be playing whack-a-mole with that feeling. So I want to look at it and say, okay, I'm not feeling grateful because I'm really disappointed about this. And I'm going to let myself feel disappointed, not for years, maybe not even for months, hopefully not even for days, but maybe for an hour. You don't want to push it away. You just want to hold the reality lightly. Yes, I'm really disappointed that this happened. And then if we can let that go, we can feel gratitude again. But we have to let go of our expectations, and we have to let go of those stories that we've made up about what the future is going to look like. If we let go of everything that contracts us, because when we're contracted, we're in a smaller state and we have our blinders on and we can't see what's happening. So we have to lightly hold things. Because otherwise, we could be knee-deep in a river and drowning of thirst. Sometimes that's where we're at. We all have good in our life that we don't see. You know, sometimes when I'm so upset, I don't even see the person with their hand out trying to help me. I just ignore it. I don't see any of the good. And so how do we cultivate gratitude? We cultivate gratitude by cultivating mindfulness. They go together. The more mindful you are, the more you see things to be grateful for. The more grateful you are, the more expansive your mind is, the more mindful you are. So mindfulness helps us steady our attention and regulate our emotions. And so we can see the things that are happening that are good for us. We see the things that we've overlooked in the past. We can be present for our own body and mindful of the fact that I can see, I can walk, I can hear, I can taste, I can smell. We never ever think about it. We take all that for granted. We can be present for the person in front of us and be grateful for them, even if they're not perfect. We can be present for the life we've been given and be present in the moment, rather than worrying about the future or ruminating about the past. We can just appreciate being alive in this present moment. All of us have lived many years, probably more years than we have ahead of us. So appreciating each moment that we have to live. There's five steps that I see to building a gratitude muscle. The first step is to notice whether or not you're feeling gratitude. Just notice, am I feeling grateful or not? Be aware of your feelings. That increases mindfulness, which fertilizes the soil of gratitude. Notice if the sky is blue. Notice if there's leaves on the tree. When you're noticing, everything might not be pleasant, but notice what you're noticing. And then allow yourself to feel whatever you're feeling in that moment. Don't be shouldn't on yourself. Don't try to make yourself feel what you think you should feel. Just understand that occasional complaints and negativity is just part of being human. You can't always be happy-go-lucky. That would be inauthentic. So you just say, okay, this is where I'm at right now. I'm on the grumpy side of the continuum. And this is where I have to start from if I want to move toward the gratitude side of the continuum. I can't hop over to the gratitude side. I have to slowly make my way from being grumpy to being grateful. And how do I do that? Well, I nurture myself. When I notice I'm feeling grumpy, I can thank myself and be grateful that I'm mindful enough to notice my feelings. Because when I don't notice my feelings, they have control over me. But if I do become aware of what I'm feeling, I have control over that feeling and it loses some of its power. So it's a step above where you were when you didn't even know you were feeling grumpy. That's a step toward the gratitude side. And you might talk to yourself and say, wow, this is really hard, or this really stinks, or I really screwed up. Maybe next time I could do it differently. And just accept that, yeah, things aren't the way I want right now. Sometimes it's due to other people or the outside experiences. Sometimes it's due to something I did. Just accept that it's happened and let yourself feel a little self-compassion. This is hard for me. I don't like this. And after you've felt that self-compassion, you've calmed your mind enough for your prefrontal cortex to turn back on, you're going to see what action you should take. Because you need to act in a way that's going to lift your mood, because a better mood makes gratitude possible. So instead of wallowing in, this really stinks, I don't like it, maybe you put on your favorite music, or you dance, or you call someone and just let them know how much you appreciate them in your life. You do a good deed. Maybe you do mouth yoga. That's smiling. My teacher, Thich Nhat Hanh, suggests that you start every meditation with mouth yoga, because putting a smile on your face really does change your body, and that changes your feelings. We can't feel grateful when we're feeling really grumpy. So we have to push ourselves to take some kind of action that's going to change our mood. And then once we've acted and are not quite so grumpy, then we stop and think about all the things in your life that you can be grateful for. From your non-toothache or your non-cold, in Judy's case, to a beautiful sunset, to spending time with a loved one, to whatever it is that makes you happy. So it might seem like it's pretty paradoxical to think about things you're grateful for when you're in a negative or a stressful situation. But those are the times when gratitude doesn't come naturally to us, but those are the times we need it the most. So we have to build that gratitude muscle so the neural pathway is there when we need it. People who practice gratitude experience an improved ability to cope, a greater sense of social support, less negative emotions, and less impatience. So if we want to move ourselves along the continuum in the direction of gratitude, we need to practice being aware and amazed by life, nature, and love every day. If we haven't developed that gratitude muscle, it's not going to be there when we most need it to lift us out of that mood. And then we'll be heading in that grumpy direction. So we want to practice thinking of life as trustworthy, of each moment as a gift. So that moves us toward gratitude.